As it's a new year, 2021, I felt as waiting on the Lord that he wants just to encourage us that we're still walking by faith and not by sight, and nothing has changed. God has not made any mistake, and the spiritual food, the manna he's giving to us, is absolutely right for the seasons and times that we're living in. And of course, that manna, that food, is the Word of God, His Word. And I have a title for our teaching today. What are you mixing with your faith? What are you mixing with your faith? And turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. And I want us to look in chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 of Hebrews, which is speaking about the promise of rest. The promise of rest, that is the context of what Paul is speaking to the Hebrews here. And we're calling our teaching, "What are you mixing with your faith?" And it says in verse 1, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." And of course, he then goes on to explain the idea or the revelation of what he's speaking about here with regard to God creating 6 days, and on the seventh day he rests from his creation. And so that rest is the same that we have now in Christ through the victory of Jesus, that he has won that victory at the cross, so we can rest in assurance by faith that God has everything under control. We're dealing here with the sovereignty of God. The same as God spoke the world into being, and 6 days he created, the seventh day he chose to rest from his work and to stand back in that sense and look at his creation, giving glory to him. And we do likewise with our faith now that we have received through Jesus, through the gospel which we receive. We are able to stand back in that sense and look at the power of the cross. Look at the victory of the cross. Look what Jesus did for us, triumphing, so that we can experience that rest that comes by faith. For faith is not striving. It is not trying to believe. As I've said for many, many years, you either are in faith in a particular area or trial, or you're not. There's no hit and miss. There's no trying it, or let's see if I have faith or not. That doesn't work that way. That is religious thinking. That leads to works, to bondage. God, when he created in 6 days and on the seventh he rested, he didn't have to try and believe. He could visibly see what he had created. It was there. The evidence was there. Which of course brings us back to what it says in Hebrews 11 and verse 1, "For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." He saw what he created. He saw by the power of his word speaking it into being. And as a result of it, he could rest on the seventh day. I've said many, many times over the years that for our faith to function, for our faith to be seen, it needs that rest. And if you are not at rest, at peace, then you have to question, what am I mixing faith with? What is the mixture? What is the ingredients? Is the ingredients strife, unbelief, fear, sin, compromise? All of these things that at times we battle with or we're tested with. The question is, what are we mixing with our faith? And this is important, because it's interesting that two people can hear the same message and teaching and will have a completely different outlook. Or sometimes you can ask people about a teaching and you wonder what they were actually hearing. What were they listening to? Because that's not what I got out of it. Now, of course, we're never going to speak exactly the same because we're all diverse and different. But the point is, it's how we hear. And that is very important. And that is why God brings us under his banner, under the anointing, under the word, so that we can all hear. And that is what brings our fellowship, our unity, our harmony, our oneness of the faith, oneness in the body. You have to have something to work from. And God will always give us the word of God, which is the foundation of which he builds upon, of which we too can build our faith. It's our guidance, our direction. And remember that it's spiritual. It's revelation. It's not what the world gives or can give. And this, of course, is why you have to be born again. You have to have that new nature. And remember that for you, when you were born again, God had to take the initiative and move on your behalf for that gift of faith indeed to believe. Because we're told that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, we know, and the apostle refers to Israel's failure, that as we know, she failed to enter the promised land because she failed to hear. She was not hearing as she should have been. And we know what the problem is. She didn't mix faith with that which she heard. And there was a fundamental problem why she didn't do that or couldn't do it. Because of the hardness of the heart, pride. They were stiff-necked. And so they were unable with what they heard and also the miracles they saw. There's no other nation on the earth who saw the miracles like Israel did. It's all recorded in the Word of God. And yet she still had this hardness of heart, this stiff-necked. And of course we know they perished in the wilderness as a result. And so only God, as we know, can deal with the heart. And that is why we make much in this assembly about the heart. Because you've got to let him do that work in the heart. Because the heart is fundamental to the title that we're talking about this morning. What are you mixing with your faith? Your heart is very dependent on what you mix with faith, what you're hearing. I'll just remind you again, I've said it before, but in passing, it's similar. If you have a recipe and you want to make something, you have to apply all those ingredients and the right weights of those ingredients in which to produce whatever it is that you are baking or cooking or making or whatever it would be. So it's exactly the same with us. And that is why God will allow and permit us to go through trials and tribulations, because most of those trials and tribulations are to get to your faith and my faith. And very often we know it's to remove the hindrances to our faith, because we're still not entering that rest as we should. Remember, I gave a teaching a few weeks ago, act or react. That is a clear indication to us. It's like a thermometer. It tells that spiritual temperature. Am I acting or reacting in this situation? Now, we know what the scriptures tell us with regard to what God does. And much of what we read, particularly in the Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and so on, is also much to do with the heart, with the attitude, with the thinking. You see, the Bible tells us that he gives one another heart, and he has to. If we do not have another heart, we cannot believe the gospel. We cannot be committed as disciples to Christ. So he has to do a miracle, a creative miracle work within us, within our lives, within our heart, within the inner man. It's hopeless otherwise, because you can only go through the motions for a while, for a season. And it will be the trials that will test whether it's genuine or it isn't. Whether you are mixing faith with that which you're hearing or not. It will always come down to whether you're in faith or in unbelief. It always boils down to that at the end of the day. And sadly, in churches today, there is so much psychology that is preached that is a substitute to this. It's really a substitute to real faith. It's not true faith when you simply just present the gospel in a sort of psychological way. And there's a lot of that infecting the gospel today. Thinking that it can get to man's heart, it can change his mind, his heart. It can't. Only faith will move the miraculous hand of God on your behalf. That is why the changes in our life are miraculous, are a miracle. And God doesn't need man. He doesn't need the arm of the flesh. He does it. He will do it. And that is what he's training you. And that is what he saved you for. That is what he's opened your mind and heart and being. He's saying, I will deliver you. I will heal you. I will teach you. I will lead and guide you. I will do it, not man. And of course, it's a lifetime's walk, isn't it? In which God works with us, that we come to that place of trusting him. And how does he do it? By removing the hindrances to our faith, which is our trials and our tests. So the Bible is very clear then. He gives us another heart. It says, doesn't it, in the heart, search the heart. Or we say, search the heart, search and see if there's any wicked way in me. What is that doing again? That's removing any hindrances to my faith. We're told, aren't we, that God circumcises the heart. And circumcision is painful. But what is it for? It's so that we can walk by faith. So that when we hear the word of God, there's nothing hindering mixing that faith with which we hear. He looks on the heart, the Bible tells us. We can't look at the heart like God does. But that's how he looks. He looks at the heart, and thank God that he does. We're told that we understand in the heart. So you can only understand the word of God, not just always just in the intellect, but the heart as well. The heart and the mind and the heart have to work together. That new heart that he's given to us. We're also told that he looks for a perfect heart. And that's what he's looking for. We follow God with our whole heart, our whole being, the Bible says. So our commitment, our discipleship is wholly following the Lord with our heart. All of this I'm giving helps you to mix with your faith what it's needed, what faith needs. We're told also you can have a double heart. You can be double-minded. And those who are like that, it shows that they're wavering. They're never quite sure. And so that's a clear indication God needs to do some deliverance, some deep surgical work on the heart. The heart, we're told, can be lifted up. It can be lifted up in two ways. It can be lifted up by inspiration in worshipping and praising God, or it can be lifted up by pride, by haughtiness. So again, God has to deal with that, else you cannot mix faith with that which you hear. Or the psalmists cry out, don't they? Change my heart. Change my heart from stone to flesh. We've cried that out to God as well. Why do we do that? Because we want these hindrances removed to our faith. Or the Bible says, make it soft. Work that soft heart within me. Not a heart that resists. Or God tests the heart. He allows us sometimes to go through trials and tests to see where our heart lies. And we've all of us experienced that in one way or another. He can sometimes do that with discipleship. He tests us in discipleship. Who are we going to put first? Our trust in God is in the heart. It is not just in the words that we say. It's in the heart that you trust God. You know if you're in faith because it's in the heart. And it has to be in the heart because there is the rest. We've spoke about in Hebrews 4. It also says in the Bible, I hide the word of God in my heart. Why do we hide the word of God in our hearts? Because it's for nobody else. You cannot share what is in your heart with anyone else. They will never understand. It's between you and God. So we hide that word within our hearts, don't we, at times? Or we keep the word of God in our hearts. You don't keep it in a religious way. You don't keep the word of God because Sunday you come into the room here and you're listening to the teaching. There's still people who think that way. Oh, well, I keep the word of God. I keep it in my heart because I'm good. I'm committed. I come to every meeting. Now, all of that, of course, is important, but that's not the means. It's the heart that you keep the word as you hear it. We're told, aren't we, as you think in your heart, so are you. So whatever you are thinking in your heart, you are that at that moment. If you are thinking still resentment, unforgiveness, that is what you are. And you cannot mix faith with that. You can try, but you can't. And of course, it applies to many other things as well. Or fear. We can still have fear in the heart. Well, that's a big one at the moment. Because, you know, there's so much fear around now, you can cut it with a knife. And sometimes you find you just want to get away from it. Because it tries to infect you. It tries to confuse you. But fear can be in the heart. And again, God is setting that deliverance, isn't he? We can also be deceived in the heart. So it's not just being deceived in the mind, but the heart as well. In other words, the heart is not really sure. And sometimes we're deceived because we don't know the word of God. We're not making it our source. We're not diligent over it as we should be. Remember, faith comes by hearing, reading the word. Whatever you need to understand, whatever choice or decision, you need to go to the word to get it. It might look logical, but you have to get the principle of the word, because that is what gives you the confidence. That is what gives you the faith to stand, because you've mixed faith with that which you've heard. Well, I've been speaking, haven't I, up to now, all what the Bible talks about with regard to the heart, because the heart is so essential for hearing the word and to have this faith that God wants. We know the promises that God has given to us in Jeremiah 24 and verse 7. You know this well, but I'll read it to you in Jeremiah 24, 7. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Now, of course, God has done that, and God will do that in the end times. But we can spiritually glean from that what God has done and is doing with us as well. And that's why the heart needs to be a pure heart for faith, a heart that is right before God. And we only know what is the issues of our heart is sometimes when we go through a trial that reveals what is in the heart. And it's for a purpose that God can remove that so that I can mix faith with that which I hear. How often have we cried out to the Lord, "Lord, it seems I have faith for this area, but for another area, it seems as though I'm absolutely battling. I just don't seem to have the faith." Let's take, for example, the healing one. That's always the big issue. We can have faith for others when we're praying for them. But when it comes from myself or what I'm going through, I seem to battle. I'm not in the faith as I should be. Well, that is an indication God still needs to deliver some areas that are hindering your faith. Don't ever ignore that. Don't ever look at it as a failure. Oh, well, I'll leave it to others then who believe in that area, but I don't. Don't do that. Inquire of the Lord. "Father, I'm not believing in this area as I should be." And it probably means there's things are hindering how I'm hearing. I am not hearing as I should. And so you ask the Lord to heal you, to remove it, whatever it is. Now, you know your Heavenly Father's going to do that. You know he's not going to put a deaf ear to that. He will do it. It may take time, but he will do it. And the only way we get that deliverance is we keep coming, we keep listening, We keep opening our heart and allowing our Heavenly Father to do that circumcising of the heart. He's going to do it. Because Matthew 5 and verse 8 tells us this: blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So it's a pure heart he's working within us in order for us to be able to mix our faith. Because he says that we shall see God. Well, you can't see anything greater and better than Almighty God, who is the author of our faith. So what a promise. It also says in Matthew 11 and verse 29, Matthew 11 and verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So what does he say? Come to me, verse 28, that's all he's saying, come. Take up my yoke and learn from me. Learn what I'm showing. I'm showing you, I'm teaching you. Learn, he's saying. Because I'm gentle, I'm lowly in heart. I love you, in other words. And you will find rest for your souls. There it is, the same rest spoken of back in Hebrews 4 that faith gives us. And we learn from him. We don't reject him. We don't turn our back on him. We come and we learn from him. And as we learn, he says he will give us that rest which faith needs in which to operate. You cannot believe, you cannot release faith when there's turmoil, when you are confused, when you are panicking, or when you are reacting. You cannot believe in those conditions. It's impossible. That's why Jesus so often withdrew and went aside and was on his own with his Heavenly Father. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you need to do the same. It might even mean you've got to withdraw from your family who are causing a panic or whatever it would be. You need to just get away and talk to the Lord. Very often, it's in our family, in our home life, that can be the biggest hindrances. And if our Lord had to do it, how much more we have to? The Bible makes it absolutely clear that man can have a hard heart. The world out there has a hard heart. It's an unregenerate heart because their father is the devil. The word of God's absolutely clear on that. So we're beginning to get an idea, aren't we? What are you mixing with your faith? There is so much going on now. There's so much being exposed. We're seeing a world government coming forth now. We're seeing the whole systems, everything now, getting ready for the Antichrist to take over, to control it all. We're seeing it being fulfilled before our very eyes. So this is a testing for us, brothers and sisters. What are you mixing with your faith, with all that you're seeing and hearing and that's going on? That is why we have to withdraw from this at times, particularly at the moment, what is going on. You know, we're all finding this lockdown a trial at times, but actually it could be a blessing, because this can be a natural time in this lockdown where we can really get alone with the Lord and begin to listen to what he's saying. So we can turn that negative into the positive. It's what we want in our hearts at the end of the day. What does Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17 tell us? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. So, our faith, to believe, it's absolutely essential, isn't it? That Christ dwells within us. And this dwelling means that it means we stay, we remain with it. We don't run away. We don't look to substitutes or alternatives, which sadly a lot of professing Christendom does. We don't need to. If you take verse 17 as it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So for that experience, it's very important what is being mixed. That to dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded together in love. And that's why we stay with it. That's why we allow God to do that work. And there are times that we feel, you know, how long does it take, Lord? It's taken years. Well, God doesn't get it wrong. Trust me. Never try and work it out as to how long it takes, because you'll come unstuck with that one. God has it under complete control. That's the point. What does it say in Ephesians 6 and verse 6? Ephesians 6 and verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. It is doing the will of God from the heart. That is how we worship God. That is what he looks for. That is the only way you will please him, is you do it from the heart. That's why it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being. And even he has to work that within us. So we're talking about our faith. What's being mixed with our faith? And here it is. He's got it quite clear here. Is that we do the will of God from the heart. So my heart has to be involved in everything I do, everything I say, everything. My heart has to be involved. Because when the heart is involved, if you've got a new heart, then that means Christ is also involved in what you're saying, in what you're doing, and so forth. That, in other words, is the light within us that shines in this world of darkness. What does it say in 2 Thessalonians? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. 3 and verse 5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So of course that is the fulfillment, if you like, of our faith in this life. Our faith must be motivated and worked by the love of God. Else it's futile. We know that our faith is a fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So it's developing. It's fruitful. And he says that our hearts are directed into the love of God, into the patience of Christ. So in other words, this love, the love of God, takes time for it to work within our hearts. And we've all experienced that. We've all thought, well, why couldn't I have done that 10 years ago? Why wasn't that love there then? Because it's the patience, as it says, the patience of Christ. It's God having patience, long-suffering towards us, that we come to that place. You know, our Heavenly Father wants us to get this right. He really, really does. And his patience, his long-suffering is just mind-boggling to get us to that place, to perfect us in our faith, in our walk. Only God can do this. And ultimately, that is why it's love. It's the love of God. Our faith has to be motivated by God's love. And so, again, going back to the title of this, what are you mixing with your faith? Are you mixing with your faith God's love? That is a good mixture. Trust me. So we're beginning then to see, aren't we, what faith has to be mixed with. And it's all how you hear. It's very important, brothers and sisters, how we hear. It's important today, now, how you hear. And that is why I think it's important that before we hear the word of God, it's important that you have some time with God. Pray. Pray for the word. Pray for the meeting. Pray, get yourself right into the presence of the Lord. I know we can't meet up at the moment, but some have said they're really missing the praise and worship. And I do, I can understand that. But there's nothing stopping you from having a time of worship and praise before you come online and listen. Because it's helping to get your heart, getting into the right heart and spirit, worshipping God. All of that is important as to how we hear, what we mix with our faith. Because if you're heavy and down, and we sometimes do battle that, we go through real trials, it's hard to listen. It's hard to really get into the word. Because we've gone through a real battle or a real trial, or there's some pressing things on your mind. And there's nothing like worship and praise that just casts that all down, so that it brings you to that place to be able to really hear that word that gets into your heart, that gives us that faith to stand each day and to meet whatever we meet, and so on. So our faith for the closing days, as God is showing me, is to overcome these giants of the land. We still have to overcome the giants of the land. They are in the land still, brothers and sisters, and it doesn't take much revelation to see those giants are rising up. And at the moment, we're seeing how big it is in the natural. We hear now that word over and over again, global, globalism. In other words, global means the planet, the whole world. That's the giants that we're facing. Giants who control the whole world. But of course, we know they can only do it for a season. And that control is even limited, because there's only one who controls the whole world and the whole universe. And that is Almighty God. And that is the one that we look to and must look to. However, the giants of the land are trying to oppose us. And God is beginning to show us why the enemy is attacking, why these things are happening in the world, that are happening in the UK, because the devil is trying to get to the overcomers. He is using all of this to try and instill fear. He's trying to get you to retract, to run back in fear and unbelief. And he'll try any way, any means. Yes, he'll try a lockdown. He'll try the lies on the news media, whatever. He's in control of all of that. That is nothing to him. To lock down the world in fear, which we're seeing at the moment, that's nothing. He laughs at it. He'll use that to get to the overcomers. Brothers and sisters, we are in a spiritual battle, warfare. It is not with flesh and blood. We are dealing in the heavens who control this. Virtually the flick of a switch. And that is why God is teaching you and I the power in his name and how that we can bind and loosen these powers for a season, yes, for the purpose of God's will being done through the saints. Every time you take authority over the powers of darkness and you bind these in the mighty name of Jesus, that is allowing the Spirit of God to work, to perfect in the church, to bring forth the man-child that is going to be delivered, released, that is going to put this all down. This is why the dragon is there attacking. We'll look at this in a minute. You've got to see the bigger picture of this. This warfare that we're in. A lot of what's happening now, a lot of what is being going on is to stop the man-child from being birthed. And you're seeing now the lengths Satan, the dragon, goes to in order to stop this. They are the giants that are opposing. Now, brothers and sisters, what is your confession? What is your faith? Are you like Joshua and Caleb? We're well able to take this. And the reason we're well able to take this is because Christ dealt with this at Calvary. And he said, it's done. It's finished. We battle. We fight. Our victory is on a finished note that Christ said, I've done it. I've finished. I've run the course. That is your battle. That is your victory. That is your confession. We've already won this, brothers and sisters. Whatever we're hearing, whatever's being said in the news, whatever you're experiencing when you go out or whatever it is, we have overcome this. We have won this. Because Christ accomplished this at Calvary. So our warfare, our victory is always on the victory side. It's nothing wrong when you go into warfare to say, Father, before I go into warfare, I just want to thank you. We've won this already. That's what he wants to hear. That's the faith. Not running away every time we hear the reports and the negative reports on the news and everything. I'm not listening to most of it now. The Lord leads me to what he wants me to hear and read. It's utterly confused. The world out there is utterly confused and in fear. But God has got a remnant. And God's got the overcomers who are developing. And the enemy knows, and the powers of darkness know what is going to put this all down. We know it. Let's finish up then with Revelation 12 to remind ourselves it's still the same as we meet this new year. Nothing changes. Let's read it. Revelation 12. Let's take it from verse 4. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Where is the dragon, the serpent, that old serpent, the devil? There in the Garden of Eden, did what he did, not changed, still there, still trying to do his same work, same trickery, same deception, nothing changes, nothing new under the sun. Here it is again. He's right there to devour her child as soon as it's born. That is the nature of a dragon, to devour, to consume. And he has closest access. Notice he's not there with those in denominations. He's not there with the Roman Catholics or the Anglicans or whatever it is. No. Where is he? He's right there with those born again of the Spirit, the first fruits unto the Lord, those that are pressing in into the holies of holies, the wise virgins, those who are being weaned on the word of God, those who walk by faith and not by sight, who do not trust anymore in the arm of the flesh or in man and what he says. That is what he wants to devour. But he cannot devour you. Why can he not devour you? Because Christ took that authority away from him at Calvary when he rose again and said, it's finished, it's done. And he is the first overcomer. The man of God, now gone before, setting the new humanity in place. And he said, I go to my Father, and there I have a place prepared for each of you. He's given back that dominion. Satan hates the man-child that is going to be born, because God is going to give back that dominion that Adam forfeited when he sinned. This world was made for man to have dominion upon, to have authority. He's lost it through sin. And it's going to be given back to the church, to the overcomers. And you're already putting that authority now in action by your faith, by your confession, by your warfare, by coming to these meetings, holding on to this that God has given. Brothers and sisters, this is far bigger than we realize. And there it is. Most in Christendom do not have revelation and insight to Revelation 12. They're all trying to understand what it is, but most don't see it. They refer it to Christ and so on. Blessed are your eyes that God has opened your eyes to see this. And not only see it, but you know it's your experience. And she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. There's the snatching, the catching away. That is why no one knows the time, the moment of the rapture. God's not going to give that for the very purpose, because the dragon cannot devour or attack this. And he's remaining close, so that he can get an inkling, or he can get a sign, or anything to show that God is going to, it now is the rapture, now is today, is going to be the rapture. No. We don't even know that. And the reason being is, he doesn't want the dragon to know. If he gets any inkling on this, any sign, he will devour this. Can you not see this, brothers and sisters? This is in God's mind and heart and time. But you can be well assured, if you're an overcomer, you're mixing faith with that which you're hearing, and you're trusting him and looking to him, you will know and you will hear, and you will hear that trumpet call, and you will hear that voice when it says, come up. You will know. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared. So God is going to preserve the church. He's going to preserve the 144,000 Jews who are sealed as well. There's the mercy of God in the tribulation and the great tribulation. And it all unfolds. Because the church is now, the overcomers are now back in that place and authority that God intended man to have. So not only has Christ overcome, but now the first fruits, the overcomers, they too now have overcome. That's what the enemy is trying to stop. And so what you're seeing on planet Earth that's being unfolded, the confusion, the new age of technology, AI, and all of this, which is satanic, which is going to control the world, all of this is to stop the man-child from being born. I know that might seem mind-boggling. It might possibly cause some to think this preacher's gone off his head. He's mad. But I'm not, because I have the Word of God here to back me up. We have walked all these years and nothing's changed. God keeps bringing it up, keeps bringing it up so that we get it from our heads to our hearts. So much of our overcoming is not bowing down to this system, bowing down to the arm of the flesh, but getting delivered from it. And that is why God is opening our eyes as I close now to all that's going on and how the they're using all of this COVID now, this in which now to hasten things up, to start to bring in the new world order, the new government. This is the time now they can go for it. And of course, we don't know whether this is man-made. We may never know about that. But we know what God is showing us. And we know that these are the powers and principalities that are working. And the enemy now is preparing for this Antichrist leader to come to control all of this. But praise God, he cannot control the overcomers. He cannot touch us. Because Christ has won that victory for us at the cross. He said, it is finished, it is done. And now, our walk of faith, whatever we experience, our warfare, our prayers, our intercessions, everything are always on the grounds that it's done, it's finished. You have the victory. You're not looking for it, or you might get it, or whatever. Every trial, every situation, you stand on the ground of victory. Do not forget that for 2021. Heavenly Father, thank you today. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for encouraging us. Lord, we love your word. We hide your word within our hearts. Your word is our nourishment, our strength, our belief, our hope to carry on, to endure to the end. I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. You don't give up on us. You're merciful and gracious. And Even when we get it wrong, you're there to forgive, to help us, to get us back on course. When we fall off that horse, you get us straight back on it again. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you've made this possible. Thank you for encouraging us for this year, if you tarry. And may we get that from our heads to our hearts. The victory is won. It's finished. It's done. We're just simply walking it now by faith. That which you achieved 2,000 years ago at Calvary, the cross. Thank you, Father, that the cross is the good news of the gospel. The cross is what we boast in and nothing else. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon